And he has had what I used to call youth camp religion, where you come and you get right with Jesus at youth camp, and you go back home, and a month or so later, you begin to slip away, and you come back to youth camp the next year. He's about 14 years old. And on the last day of camp, I knew something was bothering him, and I went and started talking to him, and he said, you know, I'm tired of how that every time I come to camp, I get real excited for Jesus, and I go home, and I end up losing it. And he basically said, I end up backsliding. And so we talked a little bit, and we were sitting there on the campgrounds. There's a little drainage ditch that runs in between the parking lot and the playground. And we were sitting on this little bridgeway, and he said, I want to show you something, Pastor Darrell. He said, this creek, this drainage ditch is like my life. He said, you got some water that's flowing here. And he said, this is the way that it is every time I come to youth camp. He says, but then you come down a little ways and there's all this trash and garbage that people have thrown into this creek, and it's floating around and it's starting to dam the flow of this water. He said, and then you got all these branches that have fallen in through storms and what all, and then you go a little ways farther and he says, there's just barely a trickle of water coming through. So Pastor Darrell, I don't know what to do because I know that there's a log jam in my life and I don't know how to get rid of it. I talked to him for a little while and I said, you know, all it takes is one good rain. All it takes is one good rain, and when that rain comes in this ditch, all this stuff that you're talking about that's in the way, it'll all be gone and this will become almost like a raging river with one good rain. We talked for a little while longer and I took him to this particular scripture. I told him, this is the scripture that you need to look at. I said, you need to have your very own Baal Perazim. He said, what does that mean? I said, Baal means master or lord, and Perazim means breakthrough. I said, you need to have the master of the breakthrough to come into your life and to cause a flood to remove all the stuff that's been holding you back. We prayed about it. He went home. He got home, and when he got, before he even got out of his car on his way home from youth camp, it started raining. He got out of the car and it rained even harder. He got in the house and all around it was flash flooding everywhere that he looked. He sent me a text message and said, Pastor, all it takes is a good rain. This 14-year-old kid keeps on sending me text messages every couple of days and saying, Pastor, I'm trying. I need another scripture. Pastor, I'm trying. I'm dealing with something. Pastor, will you pray with me? Will you pray for me? All it took was one good rain. And now this kid doesn't want to give up because he just wants the water of the Spirit of the Lord to flow through his life. He received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at youth camp. He's excited for serving Jesus. Even though he sometimes feels alone, he's excited for serving the Lord. And I think about in our own lives and all the different things that have come into our life to cause log jams and things that we need the Lord to break through, like rushing water. And I look at this passage that we read, and there's some things I want to point out to you. The first thing I want to point out is it says that when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed. You see, the Philistines, they hadn't really been messing with David anymore. Remember, David had killed Goliath, and David had actually gone and done some work for the Philistines. David had essentially even been a lord over one of the Philistinian cities for a period of time. And Judah had allowed David to come back home and made him their king. But Israel was a little bit slower in coming to the table, the rest of the tribes, and making David their king. And so the Philistines, they haven't been bothering David that much. But when they heard that David had been anointed, it says, then they came looking for David. When you receive the anointing of the Lord on your life, You know what? You will have a giant bullseye on your back. When you have the anointing of the Lord on your life, the enemy will try anything he can to get you away from what you are anointed to do. And so David, being anointed to be king. Now, this is not the first anointing. He's been anointed by Samuel. He's been anointed in Judah. He's been anointed now over Israel. So you're talking at least three times that he's been anointed. But this time is the time that the enemy takes notice. And when the enemy takes notice that he has been anointed, they come after him. And so what does he do? He goes and he hides in the stronghold. How many of you feel like you're hiding in the stronghold this morning? I tell you what, everything that we have been through over the past week and a half, I have wanted to go and hide in the stronghold. I know that the Lord is my strong tower. I know that the righteous run into Him and they are safe. I come to my stronghold and I hide out in my stronghold. And I've been wanting to hide out here lately. During VBS, that first night when our three-phase electric only had two phases working, and so we didn't have any AC that first night. It was 86 degrees in here when we started VBS that first night. It was almost cooler outside than it was inside. And I was really dreading what was going to happen. Power company came out that night, fixed the electric, everything was fine, had AC the next day. I'm worshiping, I'm just glorifying God, and then realized that only two of the AC units are working, one of them's not. When they had turned the power back on, It had shorted out one of the other AC units. So I'm dreading all this. This is so horrible. Now we have an AC unit we have to pay to have somebody come out and fix. They come out, they fix it, everything's great. Okay, just have one AC repair bill that we're having to work with and worry about. I can handle that. Well, then we come into Sunday, and on Sunday we blow two fuses, and in the Sunday evening service lose all the AC at the same time. Lose everything in the furnace room, all the power's off. Not knowing what exactly has happened, we go ahead, we replace the fuses, realize that when they had fixed the AC unit that had gone out, they had rewired it and wired it into the same circuit as the furnace room. So it was completely rewired, and now we're having electrical issues again and really concerned. So I turn off the AC, but I come in on Monday, and the compressor is still going, even though the AC is turned off. So I don't know what's going on. So I'm trying to figure it all out. And now by this time, the AC unit downstairs isn't working. So we have them come back out. They rewire the one. Everything is good on the one. They say, okay, when we rewired it so that the switch was automatically on the compressor. They got all that taken care of. Now we're looking at two AC repair bills. And then the guy says, this young guy, first time I've ever seen him from the company, came out and he says, Pastor, on this other AC, you're going to have a new compressor. I thought, great. He said it was another electrical malfunction. So I'm dreading this. And then we have the flood, and we're working on the flood. And Vernon calls me on Thursday morning. Vernon calls me and he says, Pastor, he says it's going to be over $1,700 just for the compressor on the AC. I'm thinking, God, where is that stronghold right now? I want to go and hide out. I don't want to have to deal with all this. They come out. They order the compressor. They come out. They begin to do work on it. And I'm praying. And, you know, we're already beginning the flood cleanup. We're ripping out carpet. It's just a horrible, no good, very bad day. And the technician comes to me and he says, Pastor, he says, there's nothing wrong with your compressor. Thank you, Jesus. He says, we do have to replace the motor on this fan. I said, well, that doesn't cost $1,700. Go right on ahead and do it. So they replaced that. I'm still waiting on the bills to come in, those three AC repair bills. In the middle of everything going on, insurance is getting really tired of hearing my voice. But The insurance agent says, Pastor, it doesn't matter whose fault that the AC units going out were. He says, you send us the bill. You have a $500 deductible on equipment breakdown. He said, so the most you're going to have to pay is $500 on all the AC units. Then we began to tear off the paneling and see the extensive damage that's been done to the walls. I'm thinking, God, where is that stronghold now? God, where is that stronghold? You see, here's one of the problems. As we come to a place where we want to hide out in the stronghold and God is wanting to bring a breakthrough. And I'm focusing in on the stronghold. I'm focusing in on finding a place where I can go and hide. And God's saying, we need to reverse this and turn it into a breakthrough. I don't know how it's going to be a breakthrough. I don't know what it's going to look like when I realize that it really is a breakthrough and not just words coming out of my mouth. I don't know how that's going to be, but God wants us to see it as a breakthrough. David is in the stronghold and he's hiding, and it tells us that the Philistines have gone and set themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Well, when we've done our studies before in Samuel and when I've preached from this passage, I've looked at Rephaim and not really seen a real strong connection in the meaning of Rephaim and what was going on, but I did some more research last night on the word Rephaim. And I found out that in Hebrew it has two dual connotations, two meanings. One of those meanings is the Valley of Giants. This was a place where the giants had dwelt. And remember, the Philistines, they were known for trying to have their giants to come out and fight their battles. David, and remember how many stones it was David took up against Goliath. It wasn't just one for Goliath, but he had four more, one for each of his giant brothers. His four giant brothers were still alive at this time. They're still wreaking havoc. It won't be for many more years before somebody will go and some of the mighty men will slay those four brothers of Goliath. So they come into the Valley of Giants. So the enemy comes in and he wants to make it look like his attack is bigger than it really is. Scripture tells us that our enemy is like a roaring lion roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. He's like a roaring lion, but he's not necessarily really a roaring lion. He wants to sound like a roaring lion, and I've shared this before. Reinhard Bonnke, one of the best things that I always stands out in my mind, he said this at a conference I was at when I was about 19 years old. And he said, the devil is like a roaring lion. And he says, here's the mental picture you need to have. He's not a roaring lion. He is a mouse with a microphone. And he wants to sound bigger than he really is. And that's the way that the enemy works. He tries to make it look like he's bigger than he really is. The other connotation of the word Rephaim is it also means a burial place. It can be a burial place of giants. It can be a burial place of kings. It can be just simply a burial ground. And so this is what the enemy comes at us with. He comes at us trying to make us think that he's bigger than he really is, that the attack is really stronger than it is, that he's mightier than he is, but he also wants us to think that he's going to bury us right where we are. He wants us to think that whatever we're up against is bigger than we are and it's going to kill us and he's going to bury us right where we are. That's what Rephaim means. And so David hears that the Philistines are in Rephaim, and David comes to God and he says, God, do I need to go out against them? Do I need to come against them? Will you deliver them into my hand? Will you give me the victory? Is what he's asking for. No matter what it is that you're going through individually, no matter what it is that we're going through corporately, whatever we've got to go through, whatever we've got to do, I want to know that God is bringing the victory. If God's not going to bring the victory, if God doesn't have any intention to bring victory, then it must not be of God. And so I don't want to be a part of it. But if I know that God is going to bring the victory, then I'll do like Paul did. And I'll be willing to crucify myself daily. I'll be willing to endure trials and hardships and tribulation. I'll be willing to go through it all. Because Paul said his life had become a drink offering being poured out to the Lord. And if that's what I've got to do to get victory for myself, for this church, for this community, and for the city, then I'll go through whatever it takes as long as I know the Lord is bringing the victory. David asked the Lord, are you going to bring the victory? Are you going to deliver the enemy to my hand? Are you going to give me victory over them? Let me triumph over them. What are you going to do? And the Lord said, go out against them. You're going to have the victory. I'm going to deliver them into your hand. And so he comes to a place. Now it tells us the name of the place was Baal Perazim. That's in retrospect. It hadn't yet been named. In Isaiah chapter 28, they actually end up renaming this place again. They'll end up calling it Mount Perazim. And they'll leave off the Baal, I guess because they don't want anyone to think that they worship the Baals that were running rampant in that era. But here you have this place that you are expecting for God to break through. And it said David went out and fought. David and his mighty man went out against the giants. They went out against those that were ready to bury them. They went out against the Philistines. And God brought them a victory. And David said it went so easily that it was as if God had broken through with a flood of rushing water. Last time I had you in this passage, which really wasn't that long ago, I pointed out to you the scripture that tells us when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises a standard against him. And one of the things that we struggle with when we read it in English is we put our commas and our pauses in the wrong places. Because when the Hebrews read that passage, they never said that the enemy came in like a flood. When the Jews read that passage, they read it and they say, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Lord raises up a standard against them. You see, they stress the power of God and diminish the power of the enemy. When we have our enemy coming against us, we say, when the enemy comes in like a flood. Right? And then we say the Lord raises up a standard against them. You know what a standard is? It's a flag. What's a flag do in the face of a flood? Doesn't do much, does it? But when the flood of God's presence is His standard, it's a completely different ballgame. Somebody really needs to key into this because somebody needs a breakthrough this morning. David said, the Lord has broken through like rushing, flooding, strong waters. Wednesday night, the waters were so deep in some places that it was unbelievable. Monica had uploaded some pictures of a taxi cab that had stalled out. But if you see where it stalled out, it's not in the road. It's off the road partially. And the water is still up above its hubcaps. That water was so strong. Out where we are, it was carrying rocks that were softball size. The water was picking these rocks up. In different areas in town, the water was so strong, it was picking asphalt up and depositing it on the side of the road. We thought we had problems with potholes before. Just wait. When Monica took one of the little girls home, two kids got out of the van, held her, and walked her through the water so that the water would not carry this little girl away. The mother, stepmother of that little girl was telling me the other day, said one of the men came out of one of the houses and was walking across the street to the store. He slipped and fell in the water, and you couldn't see him anymore. The water carried him down a little bit, and then he managed to get himself back up and, sopping wet, continued to walk on his way to the store. There were children inner tubing down Roby Road Wednesday night. What? It wasn't a child. It was an adult inner tubing down Roby Road Wednesday night. The flood comes through and it's powerful. And essentially what David was saying is, he was saying, the master of breakthrough has broken through like a flash flood. Something that you couldn't prepare for. Something that you couldn't imagine how strong it was going to be. Something that you could hear the sound of an abundance of rain, but you didn't really know how strong the current was going to come in. And he said it had pushed out his enemies. The master of the breakthrough wants to bring a breakthrough in our lives, and he wants to push out our enemies. Scripture says that after David and his mighty men had received this wonderful victory and they had named the place Baal Perazim, Master of the Breakthrough, Lord of the Breakthrough. After they named it Lord of the Breakthrough, it says that the Philistines, when they had fled from them, from this flood, this tidal wave of God's glory and His power, it says that as they fled, they had left their images behind. They had left their idols behind. And David and his men had to go and gather them up. Had to go and pick them up. Now, Scripture isn't real clear on what happened here. For the most part, they're going to go and destroy those images. They're going to go and destroy those idols. But I wouldn't doubt it if somebody kept one of them. Or two of them. I wouldn't doubt it if some of them went and hid them somewhere. Because we'll see later that the worship of all those idols and those gods begins to come out in Israel. It'll be after David is passed on. It'll be after Solomon is passed on. But some of the same idols and images that they went and gathered up to get rid of will resurface 3 generations later. What are you trying to say, Brother Darrell? What I'm trying to say is this. The enemy wants to take each and every one of you out. He's doing his best. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And it doesn't matter how strong that the enemy's attack may be. If God's going to give us victory, we can press through it. We can make it through. God will bring the victory because God will bring the breakthrough. But when He does, we have to deal with what remains. If you don't deal with it, your children will have to deal with it. Your grandchildren will have to deal with it. God brought the breakthrough. They gathered up the images. They gathered up the idols. God wants to bring a breakthrough in your life. For some of you, God wants to bring a breakthrough of healing. For some of you, He wants to bring a breakthrough of provision. For some of you, He wants to bring a breakthrough in your family. For this church, there's all kinds of breakthroughs I believe God wants to bring, but the greatest breakthrough of all is an influx of the harvest. I don't want this church just to grow from people coming from other churches. If God sends them, that's fine. But I want this church to grow because souls are being saved and lives are being changed. So I'm trusting God for that kind of a breakthrough. The enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus is here to give life, and that more abundantly. So we need a breakthrough, and then we need to deal with what is left after the breakthrough. After this water that has come through downstairs, there's a lot of stuff to deal with. We're going to have to deal with wood that is rotten in the walls. We're going to have to deal with drywall that is crumbling apart. We're going to have to deal in some places the plaster just fell apart. We've got a lot of stuff we're going to have to deal with. If we don't deal with it, then our children are going to have to deal with mold and mildew. There's stuff that has to be dealt with after the breakthrough. And if you don't deal with it properly, it comes back and it haunts you. How many of you need a breakthrough this morning? How many of you are ready to face whatever is left after the breakthrough and to do whatever it takes to get the job done? Now, I know this sermon may be a little different. I'm half exhausted. Okay, I'm all exhausted. I'm half awake. But I believe somebody here needs a breakthrough, somebody other than just me. And so whatever it is that you need, whatever breakthrough that you need, whatever area of your life that you need it, I just want you to cry out for God's breakthrough in your life. And then when you face your obstacle and your problem and your circumstance, I want you to square off with it and I want you to declare, this is my breakthrough. This is my breakthrough. And keep on declaring it until the Lord breaks through. David's not going to be done fighting the Philistines. He's going to have to come back and fight again. Just keep on reading in that chapter. There's going to be the sound of the armies of the Lord in the tops of the mulberry trees. But you and I today, we need a miracle. We need a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough in this church financially. Now, just to let you know, this church is doing better financially than it's done from all the records that I've looked at. The church is doing better right now than it's done in about 12 years. In the middle of a recession, for that to be happening, that is a miracle in and of itself. Right? And when you look around and see how many adults are here this morning, for us to be doing better financially, that's got to be a God thing. Because it's definitely not a man thing. But we need a breakthrough downstairs. The insurance agent is supposed to be coming out. He's supposed to be looking at everything, documenting it all, and trying to figure out if there is some other aspect of our policy where we can get more assistance than just the $2,500 flood or water damage coverage that we have. We need a breakthrough. That most likely, I know the odds are against it, but we need a breakthrough, and so if God wants to bring the breakthrough that way, that's fine. Walmart wants to look at what they can do to help out. If they are able to give some kind of a donation to help out, whatever way, whatever breakthrough, that's fine. Home Depot's already given $75 of stuff. That's not a lot considering that we need at least $7,500 more to get everything done that needs to be done. But hey, they are open to doing more as well. There are people that gave the last time we had a flood. I don't know if they can give again this time. But last time we had one individual in particular who said, here's $5,000. I don't know what it's going to take this time, but I know this. We need God to bring a breakthrough. Downstairs, we've got a good bunch of kids downstairs in Children's Church this morning. You should have seen the way that we jimmy-rigged it for Children's Church down there. But it's set up. We got a good group of kids downstairs this morning. I don't want to lose a one of them in the process of what we're doing, because that's what killed our youth group 6 years ago. We need a breakthrough. But I don't just want the kids. I want their moms and dads. I want their grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles. I want them to know that this church is here for them too, to meet their needs spiritually. For some of them to meet their needs with food. For some of them to meet their needs in other ways that we might be able to come up with. We need a breakthrough. This community needs a breakthrough. This city needs a breakthrough. So I don't know what you need your breakthrough in, but this church needs a breakthrough this morning. And we need to cry out to God and say, God, will you bring that victory and bring your breakthrough, because you are the master of the breakthrough. Today is our Baal Perazim. Today is the day of our breakthrough. Whether we see it in the natural or not, we see it by faith. Amen. Will you stand with me? Hallelujah. Let's just go right before the Lord. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we just come before you. God, we need a breakthrough. Lord, we need breakthroughs individually. We need breakthroughs corporately. God, we need a breakthrough in the city. God, we need a breakthrough. Lord, You are greater than all of the problems. You are greater than everything, Lord, that is up against us. Lord, we need a breakthrough. And so, God, we ask You, Lord, do You want us to move forward? Do You want us to move backward? Do You want us to move right or left? God, what do You want us to do, Lord? We want to follow You so that You can be the master of the breakthrough and You can bring that breakthrough to our lives. Father, we know we're up against things that look like they're giants, and we're up against things that look like they'll bury us, God. But Lord, You have a plan that is perfect. And so, God, we come before You and we say, Lord God, what does it need to be? What do we need to do? Where do we need to go so that Your breakthrough can break loose? God, let Your breakthrough transpire in this church. Lord, let it transpire in the lives of the people. Let it transpire, Lord God, within us in such a way that, Lord, tomorrow will not be like yesterday, and today, Lord God, will be a day of breakthrough. Lord, all of the hardships and the adversity, all the problems and the difficulty, Lord God, You told us last week from what Paul wrote that it's all for our sakes. It's all for our sakes so that Your grace may abound and Your glory may be seen. So God, whatever it is that we're going through, whatever it is that we're up against, we're asking You for the breakthrough. Father, there are people here that need a breakthrough financially. God, in Jesus' name, bring that breakthrough financially, Lord God. Bring it to pass, God. You know exactly what it's going to take. Bring it to pass. God, there are people here who need a breakthrough in physical healing, Lord. Some that You've healed so far, and yet they still have so far to go. And Lord, we pray that, God, You would speed that healing. Father, there are people that can't be here today because of ailments in their body. Lord, speed that healing. Break through, Lord, in their lives. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, those who need a breakthrough in their family because they have unsaved loved ones. And God, they need You to break through like rushing water. They need You to break through and to cleanse that life of that loved one. God, there are so many people that need breakthroughs. Lord, we have unsaved loved ones. Break through to them. God, there are people all around this church that need a breakthrough, Lord, and they don't even realize that all they need to do is come to You and You'll break through in their lives. God, we need a breakthrough. So, Lord, whether we see it with our eyes, hear it with our ears, or simply believe it in our heart, God, we declare that today is the day of breakthrough because You are the Master and the Lord of the breakthrough. Hallelujah, God. We praise You, Lord. We worship.